Amen. Those great songs. Just love the truth, the love when we sing the scriptures, and it's a blessing. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to find our text there. We're learning about increasing with the increase of God because we want to grow. Sometimes growth is hard to come by. Growing up, my pastor told the story of how when he was in high school, this is Steve Spires, for those of you who know him. But when he was in high school, he was very skinny. When he was in high school. And he was very tall and very much like a beanpole. And so he used to drink weight gain shakes. You guys know about those? Any of you ever tried to gain weight? Put your hand up, Jimmy. Please, y'all pray for Jimmy. But let this be a warning to you, brother. Brother Steve said, I had no idea those had a 30-year time release. Sometimes the growth we don't want comes really easy. Shocking how eating Pop-Tarts at 11 o'clock at night has an impact. But that's not the kind of growth we're talking about. Amen. We're talking about spiritual growth, and it's the growth that only God can give. Right. I want to grow in Christ. Amen. How about you?
Amen.
I want to see this church grow.
Amen.
How about you? I want to see the kingdom increase,
right.
not just Calvary, but the kingdom.
Amen.
And that's the desire that we want to have. We want to see that. I mentioned last week, Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. We're going to start before that tonight. But I mentioned this, and we talked a little bit last time about how we must be rooted in Christ, not in a family member or a pastor or any other person. We must be rooted in Christ.
Amen.
And Christ alone. But I want to dig a little deeper into this parable tonight because there's some great truths here. And some of you, as we go through this, you're going to probably, in the back of your mind, you might think, well, is this talking about just our salvation in the sowing of the seed and the bearing of fruit? Or does it go beyond that? Is it talking about our growth after the fact? And I think that you'll find, if you'll examine the scriptures, We might find that many times those questions are answered by yes.
Amen.
It's not either or, but it's both and. And so we're primarily going to make this application for this group tonight about our growth after we're born again, but certainly it applies to those who would be lost, hear the word of God, and be saved. So we'll see both. But if you're able, let's stand together as we read the word of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Brother Ben just led us in prayer, so we're going to get straight into the reading. He began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, in his teaching, hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Please be seated. We kind of walked through this a little bit last time, but repetition is the key to learning. So let me remind you real quick. In those fields in that day, there would not be fences and dividing like we have. And in the fields that would be common between many different families, there would only be maybe a marker, a landmark that was there to divide, like a cornerstone, but not a full fence most of the time. And in the middle of those fields, there would be pathways. And if any of you have ever been in large fields, you might have seen that somewhere. Just not a road, not a highway, but just a pathway to get from one place into another. And so the picture is, in that field, the sower goes and sows, and some falls on those pathways. And some finds stony ground. And some finds a place where the thorns might creep in at the edges or the corners and choke some out. But much of the seed would find good soil. And then it would spring up. And as the Lord said, it would increase. Did you see that word in verse 8? It would increase. It sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And so he gives us this parable. And of course, we could draw a lot of teaching from the parable. There would be a lot of ideas that we might come to and a lot of conclusions we might draw. But really, the Lord's focusing on two elements in this parable, the soil and the seed. That's the two things that he's focusing on. And so let's go on at verse 10. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown in stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So I have a question for you tonight. What is the condition of the soil of your heart? Now you might say that, well, I'm saved, so my heart is good soil. But could I just suggest to you tonight that beyond our salvation, our heart condition can change? And that you and I can have hard hearts against the Word of God even after we're born again? Could I suggest to you that even after you're saved, you could have some stony places in your heart where the Word of God can't get deep down into your heart? The Word of God might not get roots down in you like God wants to even after you're saved. And could I suggest to you that even as a believer, the Word of God may come into your ears, but it can't get into your heart and stay there and bear fruit like God intends for it to, because the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things choke out the effectiveness of the Word of God in your life. Amen. Would you guys all agree that that could happen to a person even after you're saved? Amen. I think primarily the teaching is about someone who would be saved and before their salvation, but I think these principles carry far beyond that. So the question tonight is, what's the condition of your heart now? Because the reality is God wants you to increase, and he wants you to bear fruit. Amen. And if we're going to be in the parable, don't you want to have your heart be the good soil? And if you're going to be in the parable, don't you want to be the one who brings forth fruit? And if you have to choose between bringing forth 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold, don't you want to be the one that brings forth 100-fold? Or are you sitting here tonight saying, well, you know what, if I could just bring a little, then that's okay with me. You know, I'm nothing special, but I just want you to get this. If my condition of my heart is right, if it's good soil, then God's word is going to have an effect in my life to increase. Seed is designed when it is sown to bring forth fruit. That's like, who in their right mind wants to plant a garden and not grow anything? That's a lot of trouble to go through to not grow anything. Why are you going to till up the ground? And why are you going to fertilize it? And why are you going to bother to water it? Why are you going to try to produce this effect of making it possible to bear fruit and then go home and pray that you don't have any crops? That's crazy. And so what we want to do is bear much fruit. So is your heart hard-packed like a well-worn path? And when the word of God comes, does Satan snatch it away before it can take root? Is your heart rocky and unyielding to the roots of the word of God when God would have his word go deeper and deeper into your heart so that you would be strengthened and able to withstand the affliction and persecution that comes from walking with Jesus? Is your heart too rocky, stony? Is your heart tonight infested with thorns that choke out the good word and strangle the growth and fruitfulness that God desires in your life? See, the reality is, I think every time you open your Bible and read it, your heart is in a condition that's either ready to receive or else not ready to receive.
Amen.
Your heart's in a condition where the conditions are right for God's word to bear much fruit in your life, or your heart is in a condition where it is not right.
Amen.
To bear much fruit. And he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's the design, that we would be ready to hear, ready to respond.
Amen.
Or is your heart good ground? Not hard, but soft. Not rocky, but yielding to the root.
Amen.
Is your heart free of thorns that would seek to choke out the word of God? And by the way, do we have any control over the condition of our heart, or is it just, it is what it is? You know, there are a lot of theologians and people in churches tonight who would vehemently disagree with what I'm about to teach you, but I believe that we have something to say about the condition of our heart.
Amen.
I believe that God has put it within us, in our nature, and in the working of who he made us to be, that you have an impact on the condition of your heart.
Amen.
Otherwise, you could just sit back and say, well, my heart is what it is, and God made me this way, and whether I bear fruit or not is not up to me. I have nothing to do with it. Can I invite you to look at Hebrews chapter 3? Find verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways.
Amen.
So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Amen.
For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Amen.
Now, certainly there's lessons here about salvation. Those Jews died, and they are a picture of those who will not hear and will not believe the word of God, and therefore they perish. And there's a warning there. But I want you to get this. He's also giving a warning to brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And there is a danger for those who have heard the word of God and affirm it to some degree that they would stop short of full belief and turn away. So we want to come to full faith in Christ, and we want to be careful. So what are the admonitions here? Look back at verse 8. Hebrews 3, verse 8. Harden not your hearts. Is that a command? Okay. Well, let me just tell you my understanding. And you can just say this is Isaac logic and you don't like it. That's fine. But I believe that if God commands you to do something, then he enables you to obey. If God says, don't harden your heart, then that means that you have the ability to either harden or not harden your heart. It's of a necessity. So God says, don't harden your heart like they did. Well, what was that? Well, that's when God brought Israel out of Egypt by many signs and miracles and great wonders so that the whole world heard about what God had done in delivering his people, and yet they continually rebelled against God. They saw, they heard, they should have believed, but they did not believe. And God said in his wrath, they will not enter into my rest. They will not enter in because of their unbelief. And they hardened their heart. That's the picture. Over and over, they cried out against Moses and they rebelled against God. And over, God was merciful and gave them chance after chance after chance, miracle after miracle after miracle. And they continued to rebel. And God said, since you wouldn't hear and you hardened your heart, you didn't believe, therefore you don't enter in. And this is the picture that he gives us to remember what God had done. So God said you can't enter in. So verse 12, take heed. Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So don't harden your heart, but do take heed. What's that mean? We talked about beware last time. Beware, be warned. Watch out, there's danger. Be careful here, because we want to make sure that we believe God. And can I say this? The devils believe and tremble. So we're not just talking about a belief in our mind. We're talking about a trusting in God. Amen. We want to be men and women and boys and girls who actually trust in the Lord himself. Not just believe that there is a God. Not just believe that there was a man named Jesus who was crucified by the Romans. But we trust in him that he is the true and the living God, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. And we believe his word. And when we hear his word, when someone stands here and preaches it, when somebody teaches in your class, when you open your Bible at home every day, you understand and you believe as it is in truth, this is the very word of God.
Amen.
We believe that. We believe it. We trust in it. So take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. This is a warning that among those believers, that among those in the church, that among those who name the name of Christ, there might be some who didn't actually believe. This is the warning. And we want to make sure that we have real faith, that we are soundly saved by faith in Christ alone. So what do? Well, verse 13 says, exhort one another daily. Encourage, exhort one another daily, so that none of us are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So here he gives us a clue. How do we be careful not to harden our heart? Number one, we need to encourage one another.
Amen.
We need to exhort one another. We need to admonish one another in our walk with Christ. We need to say to a brother or a sister who might be struggling, we need to encourage them to keep following the Lord. Amen. We need to encourage them not to turn away from God. We need to encourage them to stay in the Word of God and keep walking with Jesus and stay faithful in our fellowship and all of the things that we can encourage one another in, don't we?
Amen.
Okay? Well, here's a catch. Number one, I can't encourage somebody and exhort somebody in the things they're struggling with if I don't know what they're struggling with.
Amen.
That means I have to be close enough to somebody to know what's going on in their life. But because we're good American Christians and we're good Baptists, most of us, nobody else knows the struggles that we're going through because we want to put on a good face and a smile and we want to look our very best when we come and pretend like everything's okay. God help us.
Amen.
And some of you tonight are like, well, everything is okay. I got it together. You know what? If you would say tonight that you got it together, you don't got it together.
Amen. Amen.
Now, maybe you would say, by the grace of God, the Lord is helping me in my walk with him, and praise God for that.
Amen.
But if you got it, then you ain't got it.
Right.
Does that make sense? I know that sounds contradictory and maybe confusing. What I'm saying is if you're walking in your own strength, then you're not walking at all.
Amen.
I think we do a really good job of pretending like everything's okay. I think that we keep people at arm's distance enough so nobody knows that we struggle. And what happens is we put on the fake face, we put on the pretend, we masquerade, pretend like everything's okay, and keep everybody away long enough that we completely stumble and fall.
Amen.
And what we ought to do is have people in our lives that are close enough that we can exhort them and they can exhort us. Exhort one another daily. Not everybody in this room has the time of day. There's not enough time in the day for each one of you to exhort everyone else in the room. There's not enough time. You can't spend all your day in nothing but calling people and visiting people. You can't do that. None of us have that kind of time. But we can at least, at the very least, exhort a few. There ought to be people in the church that you're close to. And I'm not talking about the one that lives with you. I'm talking about people outside of your house.
Amen.
I'm talking about people that don't have the same last name as you. That you would be close enough to them and have a closeness and a walk with them to know and to help and to exhort day by day. We've seen too many people go by the wayside. People who were once faithful that are now gone.
Amen.
And maybe tonight you don't feel the weight of that, but I do.
Amen.
And I always wonder, what if we'd have done more? What if we had called more? What if we'd have visited more? What if we'd have just loved them more? What if we had exhorted them more? And I know you say, well, it's not up to us. We can't change their heart. But you understand the context. That's to help somebody not harden their heart. And here's the amazing thing.
Amen.
Here's the amazing thing. It not only helps them not harden their heart when you exhort them, but it helps you to not harden your heart when you're focused on exhorting and encouraging somebody else.
Amen.
And isn't it awesome when you go to try to encourage somebody else and they end up encouraging you?
Amen.
You guys know Brother Philip's been through a lot lately. I had an opportunity to drive him over to his appointment today for the surgeon follow-up. And by the way, you got a great report. And he's been through so much, and I want to be an encouragement to him and exhort him and make sure he's not feeling too down or lonely. But I'm going to tell you what, you spend 5 minutes with him, and you're going to be encouraged.
Amen.
And that's the way it ought to be. Exhort one another.
Amen.
That means it's two ways, right?
Amen.
Right. So exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So one of the ways we avoid hardening our heart is by exhortation towards one another. And the second way is by avoiding sin.
Amen.
Avoid the deceitfulness of sin. What hardens your heart? Well, when you get out of the Word of God and you get out of the fellowship of God's people, you're not walking in the Word of God and you're not walking with the people of God, and therefore you're moving away from the things of God, and that means that you're going to be in the things of the world, and that means you're going to be in the things of sin, and sin will harden your heart against the Word of God.
Amen.
You believe it?
Amen.
You ever seen it?
Amen.
Have you ever experienced it?
Amen.
Because I sure have. When you start to walk in sin, your heart gets hard. And it's one of the early signs, isn't it?
Amen.
You know how many times I've seen people come, they get saved, they get baptized, they're in the church, and it's the greatest thing they've ever experienced in their life. I mean, they love it.
Amen.
I mean, you could just see them in the preaching, they're just soaking it up, they just love it. Like, it's all fresh and it's all new and it's all so good. And they love being in Sunday school and hearing the Word of God, and they love being around the people of God. And it's so good for a while, but then sooner or later, they start to kind of fade a little bit. And what happens is they get a little bit out of the Word of God and a little bit away from the people of God, and they start getting more in the things of the world, and sin starts creeping in. And the next thing you know, they don't really like being at church so much anymore. And they're like, I don't know what's wrong with Brother Isaac's preaching. It used to be so good. Now, I don't know what's happened over the last 10 years. I don't think my preaching's gotten any better, but I don't think it's gotten too much worse. Somebody help me. Okay, it's gotten better. Lord help. It stayed good. I'll take that. No, but have you ever been there? I mean, there for a while, you listen to the preaching and you're like, man, this is so good and I love it and it's so wonderful. And the next thing you know, you're listening to the same preacher preach the same kind of message and you're just like, I got nothing out of that. Now listen, it could be that it's my fault. It could be that it was the preacher I was listening to, it was his fault. But I've got an idea that it wasn't his fault. I got an idea that when I got to a place in my life where the preaching didn't have the impact that it used to, and I didn't get anything out of it, it wasn't his fault. It was my fault for having a hard heart.
Amen.
How can I get something if my heart is hard? How can I hear something if I don't have ears to hear? And it wasn't his fault. It was my fault.
Amen.
Right. I don't even like saying this stuff. It sounds like I'm trying to beg for a compliment or somebody please say my preaching doesn't stink. That's not the point. The point is that when the Word of God is preached, we ought to love it.
Amen.
And the Word of God doesn't lose its power.
Right.
In this parable, the Word, the seed, is always the same. The seed is unchanging.
Amen.
But what changes, what is always changing, is the hearts of men.
Amen. Amen.
So what do we do? Well, we've got to encourage each other so that none of us are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We got to stay close enough to each other to encourage and exhort one another. We got to love each other enough to help each other. We got to love each other enough to see when a brother or sister falls that we help them in a spirit of meekness, being careful so that we don't fall, but we help them and we restore them.
Amen.
But so many times, people are stumbling and falling all around us and we don't even pay any attention to it.
Amen.
We're too embarrassed to say anything. But if we love someone, we're going to do all we can to help them. Why? Because some of them, when they had heard, they provoked. They provoked, not all of them, but almost all of them. And who was he grieved with? Well, he was grieved with those who sinned. And why did they sin? Because their hearts were hard. And because their hearts were hard, they did not believe. Jeremiah 4, 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Amen. You think the Lord didn't have this in mind when he gave his parable? You think he wasn't reminding them of what they already knew? He says in verse 4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like a fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And Israel had continued to sin against God and rebel against God and commit abominations before God. And God had warned them that judgment was coming. But even then he said, if you'll turn back to me, I'll forgive you. If you'll turn back to me, I'll bless you. If you'll turn back to me, then you can be ones who say the Lord lives in truth and judgment and righteousness, and the nations will bless his name because you turn back to him. But what do you have to do? You have to break up your fallow ground. The hardness of your heart has to be broken up. Now, real quick, how many of you have ever plowed a field? Could you just go like this? I mean, real plowed a field. Keep them up just for a second. People ought to look around. Look around and see the people who've done real work. Is that easy? Is the ground always soft and easy to plow? No rocks in the way? No roots to cut out? Easy, right? Yeah, that's stupid, isn't it? Why would you plow it if the ground was already ready? If it wasn't hard, you wouldn't need to plow it. If there weren't stones in the way, you wouldn't have to get them out of the way. If there weren't thorns and roots that would choke out the crop, you wouldn't have to dig them out and get rid of them. Amen. And God says that you have a part in this work to break up your fallow ground, to be careful not to harden your heart against God. Amen. Hosea 10, verses 12 and 13. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because you didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. You trusted in yourself, you trusted in your own way, rather than trusting in God. And he says it's time to seek the Lord. So what is the condition of the soil of your heart tonight? David was able to say to the Lord, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And I'm going to be honest with you. There have been many times in my life that I was afraid to pray that prayer because I knew there was sin and iniquity in my heart. And I didn't want to let go of it and I didn't want to repent. And it may be that someone in this room tonight or watching online tonight is in that place. You don't want to ask God to search your heart because you know there are things there that don't need to be there. But what is wrong with us? You all said at the beginning, I want to increase. I want to grow. I want to see the church grow. I want the kingdom to be increased. Amen. Well, friend, that can't happen if you will not soften your heart before God. That's never going to happen if you don't ask God to get the rocks out of the way. If you don't ask God to get the thorns out of your heart and out of your mind. Amen. It's never going to happen. Healthy people make healthy churches. You may think that whatever's going on in your heart, your mind, and your life has no impact on everybody else, but that's a lie.
Amen.
It's a lie from the pits of hell, and it reeks of smoke. We desperately need every person in the body to soften their hearts.
Amen.
And receive the word of God.
Amen.
So that he'll bring forth much fruit. Now, we have a part to play. Do you guys agree with that?
Amen.
But even in that, it's all the work of God.
Amen.
You say, well, what do you mean? It's you got to do something, but it's not you, it's all God? Yeah, that's what I said. Can you believe unless God gives you the faith? Faith is a gift.
Amen.
Can you see and understand unless God gives you understanding? Can you even have ears to hear unless God gives you the ability to hear? No. Can you break up your fallow ground without God's help? No. Can you avoid sin without the help and the grace of God? No. So do we have a part to play? Absolutely.
Amen.
Our part is to yield to Him so that He rules and reigns in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. There was a study done by a school in Iowa. Those people in Iowa love corn. I don't know if you know that or not. School in Iowa, how many of you guys love corn? That Weber's Falls corn's pretty good. They did a study to see what it took for an acre of land to produce 100 bushels of corn. And in their study, they found that it took 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, and 75 pounds of sulfur, and of course, the seed. Not to mention the rain and the sunshine that had to come all at the right time.
Amen.
Those are all things that though the farmer has some part to play in it, unless God did the work, unless God gave the sunshine and the rain and all the nutrients and all the things that have to happen, it doesn't grow.
Amen.
It doesn't grow. So what do? Well, we yield. We soften our heart before God, and He really does the rest.
Amen.
So what's the condition of your heart tonight? What's your response to the Word of God tonight? And what's your response to the Word of God going to be in the morning? When you get up in the morning, and you open the Bible, and you spend time in the Word of God, what kind of soil is the seed of the Word of God going to find in your heart tomorrow? And the next day. And the next day. And every day until we see Him face to face. May God help us not to harden our hearts.
Amen.
Today or any day until we see Him again. Let's stand together. We're going to end with a song tonight. If the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, if there's any unconfessed or unrepented sin in your life, if there's just a lack of desire for God and the things of God in your heart, and you see that, you recognize that, I exhort you to repent and get your heart right with Jesus tonight. Ask Him to give you a soft heart. Ask Him to give you ears to hear. He wants to help you. He just wants you to be yielded to Him, surrender to Him as we get ready, as we sing.